Hello, Stuart here from Carey Baptist Church in Moulton. Good to be with you and to the listeners online. Let's commit this time into God's love and providence. Let us pray. Father, I pray for those who are listening to this recording online or in their homes, that you would draw near to them by your Spirit. In the prayers, the reading of your word, and in the explanation of it, that you would meet with us, that you would speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The reading is from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. So Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. The birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Amen. Let us pray. Father, as we reflect upon this passage, we pray that your Holy Spirit would breathe life into this piece of scripture, and may it become to us a living word in our own situation and circumstances. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to continue our Lenten series, which is journeying through Lent towards Easter. And we are now in the third week of Lent, and we're focusing on Mary and her Annunciation, and about how God speaks, God calls, and God is with us. We have Mary at this time of year in the Annunciation, which is in March usually, because in 9 months' time it will be Christmas, hence the 9 months of gestation. We as a church here at Carey Baptist in Moulton are in a process of gestation, with Jodie and I leaving at the end of April. There is a death of sorts, but we trust that there will be a new birth and a new future and a new ministry. Mary, in her extreme circumstances, has a lot to teach us in ours. First of all, God sends an angel, a messenger, in verses 26 to 27. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. So it says here that an angel is sent, angel visions are not commonplace. Most of us probably haven't seen angels in the flesh, so to speak, or not that angels have flesh, but you know what I mean. But the word angelos in the Greek means messenger. And God sends messengers to us all the time if we have eyes to see and ears to listen. Perhaps even Gary Lineker was acting as an angel this week. They come in all sorts of strange guises. But back to the story. God speaks to Mary in and through Gabriel. In verse 28 says, the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." So Gabriel greets Mary on behalf of God and tells her that she is highly favoured, that she is blessed, and the Lord is with her. But she doesn't find this particularly enlightening or shedding light on her situation and her predicament. And in verse 29, it says, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Well, that's a bit of an understatement, greatly troubled. A better translation would be perplexed or greatly disturbed. And I think here Mary's response can speak to us. Do we feel perplexed or greatly disturbed at the moment with the cost of living crisis, with the situation in Ukraine and climate change? Or more specifically, as our life as a church community at this time of change and transition, what does the future hold? I find it reassuring that Mary, the mother of our Lord, felt these same emotions of perplexity and disturbance at a more intense level than us. But we, like Mary, need to trust God, even when we don't see human solutions to our dilemmas. Mary asks in verse 34, "How will this be?" Mary asked, "since I am a virgin." How will this be is a question we may ask ourselves. How can we survive or grow or flourish in these difficult times for churches in the UK and the Western world? We face difficult cultural situations. It's hard when the natures of Sunday have changed so much, especially for families and children and young people, where shopping and different events are on a Sunday and clash with our pattern of Sunday worship, which has gone on for centuries and generations. And there are no easy answers or quick fix solutions to how we try to build up the church in these days. The angel Gabriel's message to Mary resonates with us when he says to her in verse 30, "But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God.'" We need to be reminded of not to be afraid and that we are favoured by God. We are afraid of what the future holds. I'm afraid of what the future holds in North Shields. I'm sure there'll be difficulties and challenges that I don't perceive at present, just different difficulties and challenges from what we have here. They work with asylum seekers and homeless people, and dealing with people in such precarious situations won't be easy. And we're moving into a smaller house in a poorer area, but we trust that God is calling us there. And for you here, you need to trust that God will lead you to and call the right person at the right time as your new minister to work with you in this next chapter. But it is unsettling. All sorts of questions arise. Can we economically afford to pay for a minister? Will we be able to call a new minister, especially when there's a shortage of ministers? And how long will this process take? I could go on, but I won't. We aren't given the same task as Mary, which was a unique role and a unique one in human history, to bear the Saviour of the world, to bear God incarnate, to be in some way the Mother of God, whatever that means. But we are all individually and collectively called to bring Jesus to birth in our lives. The same Spirit who conceived Jesus in Mary's womb wants to bring forth the character and life of Jesus in our lives. Mary was scared and disturbed, but she still said yes, and we are eternally grateful for that, and our salvation hinges on her yes. In verse 38, she says, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." We also are the Lord's servants. That word has a sense of belonging. We belong to the Lord. We are his servants. May his word, his call, be fulfilled in us as it was in Mary. God still speaks to us through his angels, through his messengers, through his word, and most specifically through his Son, and calls us to tasks in his kingdom. Tasks that may seem overwhelming and cause us to be perturbed, perplexed, and disturbed like Mary was. But we, like Mary, need to assent, to say yes, to be willing to cooperate with God, because he didn't force Mary and he won't force us. But will we respond to his invitation to work with him and for him, that he can work in and through us during this period of Lent and beyond? Let us pray. Father God, we praise and thank you for Mary, that she said yes to the angel Gabriel and was prepared to take that risk of bringing our Lord and Saviour to birth within her. Help us to be open to the invitations you open to us, the messengers that you send to us. May your word and your purposes be fulfilled in our lives, that we can play our small part in your kingdom purposes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's move now to a time of prayer and bring our concerns before the Lord. Living God, we have turned parts of your world into a desert, making the lives of many difficult, damaged, and dry. We have exploited the earth, polluted its waters, grabbed selfishly at its resources, and held them tight. Living God, show us your better way, that the desert may blossom and the peoples of the earth know dignity and plenty. Help us to care for and respect your creation, to share its resources that human needs may be met. God of grace, we thirst for you. Give us the water of life. Living God, we have turned parts of your world into a desert, making the lives of many difficult, damaged, and dry. We have not cultivated justice, compassion, and understanding, or sought the rights of others, only of ourselves. Living God, show us your better way, that the desert may blossom and the peoples of the world find self-respect and peace. Help us to pursue a vision of your godly and just kingdom, offering our lives to others obedient to your law of love. God of grace, we thirst for you. Give us the water of life. Living God, sometimes our journey with you takes us through the desert. Our lives become difficult and damaged and dry. Our bodies become sick, our hearts ache with sorrow. We stumble over doubts, anxieties, and fears. Living God, lead us along your better way. To the desert that blossoms, watered by springs of joy and peace, your living water. Help us to endure our trials trustfully and with hope, that the truth of your love may flow through our lives. God of grace, we thirst for you. Give us the water of life. In a moment of quiet, we bring our own needs and concerns to the Lord. In the name of him who poured out his life for us upon the cross, Jesus Christ, our Saviour, we pray. And we join our prayers with the prayers of the Lord's Prayer that he gave to us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And I close with a blessing. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and always. Amen. So thank you for joining with us. Go well and God bless.